I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B Raw Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Rick Flair, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my homegirl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all riding the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me.
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
Listen to that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? This your boy, Carter B of 4Play Media Group. And I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Welcome to Chocolate City Radio. Tonight is Turn It Up Tuesday. This is your girl, Chalk Mommy, and tonight is going to be an interesting-ass show. Any show I do is an interesting-ass show. So, Sunday night, we had, like, an awesome show. We did the damn thing, DJ Nightcrawler, with Midnight Passions. Oh, my God, that mix was crazy hot. Then we did some Chocolate Panties with DJ A-Ron. And I really had a good time. I enjoyed myself. So tonight, I've been promoting that Ron Browse is going to be on. He should be calling in around 10 o'clock tonight. He has a mixtape that's dropping, so I'm excited about that. And I really didn't choose a particular subject to talk about tonight. But for those of you that know me, I go to college. I go to the community college. I go to classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I have a classmate that sits directly beside me, and she is a Christian. She does women's ministry. And, you know, we're always talking about different things because it's good when you can have different opinions and different points of view on different topics. So she was saying that she didn't know that there was a difference between making love and having sex. And I'm like, yes. So she was like, she started studying it and everything like that. And then she started talking about the women that she ministered to or that's in her church group that have different views on married, on marriage, you know, there are some that have been married, but they're separated. And it's this one particular woman. She's been, her and her husband have lived apart for 25 years, but they still have sex, and she makes them use a condom. Hold on, we have a call. Last four is 1802. What's up?
Oh, how you doing, Chuck, mommy? How you doing? I didn't even know that you was going to put me in that quick. I didn't even want to interrupt the conversation.
Oh,
I want to, okay. You can continue.
So then she was just like, she felt like the woman was wrong to have sex with her husband with a condom. And like I told her, women take vows differently. There are some women that be like, once I say I do, it's I do forever. You know, to death do us part, we'll have separate lives, whatever it is we're going to have, then damn it, that's what we're going to have. And she don't, and her husband is living his life. So sexually, that's what she's used to. She's not going to go out and sin and be like sleeping with somebody else because in God's eyes, they are still married. So, of course, she's going to tell him to use a condom. And she was just like, that's crazy. She should just go ahead and cut him loose, this, that, and the third. And like I was telling her, you don't know what type of mindset a person has, what type of spiritual upbringing they had, and how they view the vows on marriage. Because when you take those vows, you're vowing before God till death do you part. And I had to tell her that when my grandfather and grandmother were alive, I never saw them live together. When my grandfather died, he was still married to my grandma. And my grandfather died when I was like 27 years old, 26, 27 years old. So I never saw them interacting and stuff. When they went to church together, they were very cordial. And, you know, they would speak on the phone and talk about their kids, which was grown as hell. But that's not common for women back in the day. And she was just like, for her to be 60 years old and acting like that. And then we had to go into this topic of, you know, what good dick will do to you. Good dick will fuck your head up. Good dick will make you do shit you normally wouldn't do. And that's the same way with good pussy. Good dick will make a woman.
Can I interrupt you one time? Wait, was the lady in the ministry really saying that's what you and her was talking about? Good dick?
Yeah, she sits right beside me in class and she was telling me this. And I'm just like...
Really?
And then she was like, I don't even see what the big emphasis is on sex. And I had to tell her, you ain't had no great dick yet. You ain't had no dick come in your life that just fucks up your mind. And I mean, I'm keeping it 100 with her. You know what I'm saying? I can't cut no corners because that's just not me. And she was like, I'm 37. Okay, you're 37. She's probably looking at her. She's very conservative. She probably is a missionary type chick. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know if she's ever sucked dick before, but when I go to class on Thursday, I'm going to act.
I was just getting into that. I wanted to know if you got ever, if you ever get to the point in the conversation where you started talking about, hey, so tell me about you. And I guess you didn't get to that yet.
As common, because my thing is, she's like, well, I can't say that with the congregation. I was like, no, you can't. But what you can say is there is some penis, good penis will mess up your life. Good penis will make you wait on the dude. I know he's fucking other bitches, but this dick is so good that I still want my part in it. And if this is what they've been doing for 25 years, she was just like, I believe it's some other problems that she has going on. And I feel like one of the biggest thing is her commitment to God. This is still her husband. We can't live together, but you still going to come by the house and handle your responsibility, slap on this condom, come fuck me, and then you go back to your life. And then she was like, well, maybe she needs to use a toy. I'm like, toys can't give you everything. I'll be the first to tell you, I have toys in my closet. I don't even touch them. Because at the end of the day, sometimes you want to cuddle. Sometimes, you know, you want that intimacy. You might want your titties fondled. You might want your clit lit. You might want your ass lit. A toy ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear a woman really say that, man. It feels good to know that. You know what I'm saying? As a man, because, I mean, I have a lot of females that say, yo, you know, I can do this myself. And I feel them. Yeah, I got a toy. I can stimulate myself. I feel them. But I say this, though. if I just had, you can take a plastic, even if it was a doll, I have these, they got these things called love dolls. It's just not the same. No, I mean, it ain't the same as the a real woman. Nothing could ever replace a real woman. You know what I'm saying? And it's good to know that, yo, a female feel the same way. That y'all ain't no substitute for us. You know what I mean? But I'm really eager to hear more. I'm really curious to know about, you know, how you going to talk to her about sexuality? I mean, this is a person you're talking about. Oh, she can't say dick. So, like, where y'all going to go? Like, how far y'all going to go? Like, how far you think you're going to get?
No. She can't say it in her women's ministry. Now, she's asked me to come and talk to the women about sex. And, you know, coming in the guy's house, you know, you just got to know the gospel etiquette to use. My thing is, when you're married, your bedroom, your bed is not defiled. So whatever you do to your husband, that's what you're doing to your husband. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like sometimes women in the church, it's like they start getting all holy and dignified, and the things they used to do when they was courting with their husbands and stuff like that, they tend to get away from it as they get old and get into the church. Ladies, what you did to get your husband, you were saved when you got him. You better continue to do it before you lose him. And, I mean, I'm just a firm believer that, okay, just because you have a commitment to God, he also expects you to take care of your man, because it's God, your husband, the woman, and the child. So it's like you're supposed to be submissive to your husband. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying go out and have threesomes or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, just because you become a Christian or you come so devout into your religion does not mean you need to neglect the things that needs to happen in your bedroom. You still got to take care of home. Because when you start doing the same stuff over and over, it gets boring. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's just like, look at preachers. Okay. You know, back in the day, and I can say this because my grandfather and my grandmother was married for over 70 years. He never cheated on my grandma. You know what I'm saying? That's the only man my grandma ever been with. And it's still some marriages that are like that today. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you've got to do things to keep it interesting. So it's like you have these ministers that, okay, they may have outlived their wife. So then they go to finding a second wife. You know what I'm saying? He ain't waiting to hit that. He not waiting till he say, I do, to hit that. He's fucking her. He test driving that car before he put the ring on it. Or he done test drove some sisters or some ushers before he made that ultimate goal. Like, okay, this is who I'm going to choose. So it's like there are some preachers that are true to it, and there's some preachers that just be faking the funk. And so she used that as an excuse today. She was like, well, a preacher I know, he's on his second wife. Okay, but at the same time, in between the first and the second, he was fucking.
Well, you see, I'm not a super religious, you know. I can't necessarily comment because I don't want to, you know, comment from a standpoint that I don't have. But I'm going to say this. As a person that has been married, well, actually technically I still am, but not legally, you know what I'm saying? But listen, I say this. When it comes down to the whole relationship, spiritual values or not, I definitely feel like the principle is this. When I'm making a commitment, it's like just you and I. It didn't really seem like it's really that much of a point. When it comes to sexuality, if we're still at a point, like, why to be locked down forever, be on some shit like, I don't know if I'm going to be getting what I want? Because especially when it's like, I know that's like, nah, I don't think I can't do that. Because, I mean, I feel like if I'm going to take the vow of, all right, we're going to be together seriously. And I'm going to be, what, forever? Not satisfied or forever having that problem. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm a dude that I'm sensible. I'm like, all right, like, for example, like, I'm married. Like, I know Chuck Mommy's tired tonight, so I'm going to just chill. Like, I'm not going to put no pressure. But I'm saying if I know that it's just going to be a constant problem, it's just going to be like, what? What are we doing? Just making each other miserable. So my marriage, it got to be like that. I mean, we're going to be loving, and I'm definitely going to respect the church. And I can definitely respect the spiritual values. But, yo, I mean, shit got to go down. Word, like, I like my sex life interesting. You know what I'm saying? I really would like, yeah, I want to go down. Like, I'll come down there. I want to come down to the church. I mean, if it's not just women allowed, I would like to hear exactly what you'll be talking about. Especially when they're like, yo, because I'm saying, though, because that's like, because then how you even get to the point where you explain who you are, what you do? Like, you say, what do you do? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll be like, what can we see that you can, if anybody want to know, what can they see? What can you do? Or something like that. Like, I mean, like, yo.
You want to be a fly on the wall when I go speak to these women, don't you?
I'm saying, like, it sounds interesting and stuff. Like, I mean, how does
ChocMommy.com? I'm going to keep it respectful. You know, yeah. I'm going to pray for the words of wisdom to use. But at the end of the day, it's like, don't get so complacent to where you feel like the little stuff that you're doing or you're just putting out just to be putting out, that your man is really going to continue to accept that. A relationship has to be nourished. Like how you have to feed your spirit, how you have to feed your mind, you have to feed your relationship mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually. I mean, everything has to be met across the board. And I mean, that's just like, let's just say me and you are in a relationship, right? And when we first starting out, we fucking like rabbits. We doing everything. We're spontaneous. You open the doors for me. I'm cooking for you. And, you know, we get to the point where, you know, we don't put our best face forward and we're living together, right? And then we're just like, shit, we live together. All that shit I did to get him, he ain't going nowhere. So I fall off and you fall off. So then there comes the wedge because you're looking at me like, damn, you used to do this. And I'm looking at you like, damn, you used to do that. What the fuck? Then that's when other people are able to start coming in and interfering in your relationship because of the lack of what you're not doing anymore. And I'm saying, me, I was in a relationship for a couple of months. And first of all, he wasn't supportive of the Chalk Mommy brand. That is a no-no. Second of all, you wasn't giving me dick on the regular basis.
That's a real, real big thing. I'm an artist. Like, that's, to me, that's very, very serious, especially, but continue, though.
Yeah, but, and you wasn't giving me the dick on the regular basis. I never had an orgasm with you. So, I had just found my toys. Let me see. I started using toys November 2011. I met you January 31st, 2011. We started dating January 2012. So by March, I'm tired of you because I'm not seeing you. I'm fucking my toy more than we fucking, and I'm coming with my toy and not you. And then I'm getting to the point where, damn, I'm making voice notes on the BlackBerry, and I'm pleasing myself, busting great big nuts. Never sounding like that with you when I'm sending them to you. Damn, you got to get the picture like, yo, she don't never sound like that with me.
You see, what's in the character?
Huh?
No, I said what's in the character wasn't a mission because I'm going to be honest. Like, I could be like, I may have told to you before, I can deal with, like, all right, we going out and I'm dealing with this chick or I just did that. But I'm dealing with you or with you. Then part of my fun, a lot of the fun is I'm like, oh, damn, yo, I made Chalk Mommy scream, yo, or like, I made her come, she exploded, I made her do that. Like, the fucking sex and the pleasure is going to be half of the game, but then also, man, like, I'm going to get off on how I made you get off. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it gives me pleasure to be pleasing you. So that's going to be part of what's going to give me the motivation. Like, this is how I'm doing it. It wouldn't be no shit like, oh, you looking at me after all of these months or some shit, because I'm like, all right, I'm going to fuck on Chuck Mommy. Like, we went and then these last 2 months or like 3 months and passed by, and then on the third month, it will be on some shit like, it will be on Wednesday, it would be like some crazy shit. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. It would have to be some over exuberant shit, like wild rose petals types of shit. Like, some shit that's like, all right, so you must have used 1 month to plan this shit, I see. You know what I'm saying? To just be like, oh, hey, surprise. You know what I'm saying? Spontaneity. Because, like, yo, I mean, it's not just about me. It's about the partner. And if y'all trying to please each other, essentially, if nobody has all the right answers and the right tools, but you'll find your way if everybody's trying to make each other happy. And I think that when you're talking to the people in the church, also talking to them outside the church, I might just be on some stuff like, listen, we are following the way of Jesus Christ, and we are doing the right thing, and we are trying to live a life of honesty and decency. But we're human beings. We should be allowed to be human beings. You know what I'm saying? Human beings are sexual creatures. And we're adults.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And it's like nothing flawed or dirty or nasty about us being sexual creatures as adults. You know, we should be able to explore when we do this, how we like to do it healthily with people that we love. And this is not nothing shameful about it. You know what I'm saying? We can get past that.
And I mean, and then truth be told, let's go back to the Old Testament. Old Testament, they was having, like, those were the first swinging lifestyle parties. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They was wowing out, you know? They was getting it in. You got Sodom and Gomorrah. Then when Moses went up on the mountain to do the Ten Commandments, he came back down. They had the gold calves. They was partying. They was doing what they was doing. So it's like people tend to get away from that, but you can't get away from that because the Old Testament is history. I mean, it's backed up with Alexander the Great, you know what I'm saying? Caesar, in the book of Daniel. It's talking about all those history things because I'm taking history, and even before I took history in school, I always was a fan of the Old Testament because I just love history. And now that I'm doing world history and we're going back and we're, like, breaking things down and everything like that, it's like, you can't get away from it. That's a part of your spiritual makeup. I mean, you can take what you want from it, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. Your ancestors was wild, and you're, like, trying to clean it up and tame it. But at the end of the day, we all are creatures. Creatures are going to fight. Creatures are going to fuck. Creatures are going to do what they got to do to survive. It's survival of the fittest. No matter how much people try to dress it up or anything like that, it's you got to survive. You get a job. Mm-hmm. If you don't got a job, you find some kind of skills. Or for a woman, you rely on your pussy. You find a dude that's going to enjoy your pussy and give you your necessities and whatever else it is you need. You got your needs, you got your needs, you got your necessities, you got your wants, and you got the shit that you don't need, but you just gonna get it anyway because you can. You know what I'm saying? And it's like men and women both have that mindset. Thank God I'm not one of those women that needs a man to survive, or I need a man to feel like I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what people don't understand, the moment you start depending on somebody and you make them your lifeline, be the same moment that them motherfuckers be like, oh, hell no, I got the upper hand. She need me or he need me, and they start dragging you. What the hell are you going to do because you're centered your life around them? That's like if you look at, I'm not sure how old you are, but I grew up looking at Donahue, Sally, Geraldo, and stuff like that. And women used to sit there, especially housewives, center themselves around their husbands. Then when the husbands got tired of them, they traded them in for a younger version, or they just wanted to be whores. So then here's the woman that centered her whole life around her husband, staying at home, being a housewife, waiting for him to bring home the bacon. When the man got tired of their ass and left them, they couldn't make it. Life was fucked up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just be like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Then they have to go out and start the dating process over and find somebody that can take care of them. And I just be like, you know, I would never, ever be in a situation like that. And I would never want to be in a situation where a man felt like he needed me in his life or he centered his whole life around me, because that's not good. Why can't we just be in a relationship together? We have 50-50. If you fall short, whatever percentage you fall short in, I got your back so you can get back on your feet, and vice versa. If not, no, I throw it in your face or you throw it in my face, or I'm like, yo, this nigga weak, let me go find somebody else. It's not even about that, because I would feel real bad. But I'm just thankful that I'm a go-get-it kind of chick. If I don't got it, I'm a go-get-it. I'm going to use my brains. And if I have to go back to my street hustling mentality, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to flip a motherfucking pound into another pound, to another pound, to them pounds become 5 pounds, to them 5 pounds become 10 pounds, and them 10 become 15. Then I'm going to work my way up back to my normal 50, and I'm going to get it that way. You know what I'm saying? And that's just like the mindset that I have. So I'm just like, instead of doing hustling illegally, I'm doing it the legal way, and I still get the same respect that I got when I did it in the streets. It's just that I'm in a different lane and I'm meeting different people and different doors are opening up for me. But at the same time, I don't take anything for granted, because the same way that I'm being blessed, tomorrow I could be knocked down to like nothing and have to start all over again. But I'm thankful that I'm mentally strong enough to know that at any given day, I have to start over all over again, and it's not going to make me lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people can't do that.
Hey.
So, you know, now you got me, like, waiting to go to class Thursday. And I was just going to be like, yo, Marion, like, you know, you're like, you know, sex is not big to you, like, have you ever been in a situation where you got some, I don't want to come out and just be harsh, but you ever been in a situation where you just had some dick that you just had to, that just kept making you come back, or when you didn't have it, you thought about it, and you had to think of ways of how you was going to get it? I mean, it's like, she looks like her sexual life is very minimal. You know what I mean? So I don't want to open up her mind to where she's going out looking for something, because then I will feel like I strayed her. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, if you're going to teach a class or talk to women about sex, then you need to know everything about it. You know what I'm saying? If you're 37 and you're just realizing that there's a difference between making love and having sex, how you been? I mean, like, wow. That's all I can say is wow.
My opinion is this, though. I feel like when it comes to, like, straying her or something like that, my opinion is that she was 37, that she's an adult. And she'll be, I think, responsible for what she does. And when it comes down to her opening her mind, I think that generally 90% of the time, information is not harmful, it's helpful. And information that's truth could only be helpful, I think. And if she has information that may be truth, or even if it's not truth, if it's just an opinion, where she could form something where she can actually develop her own theory towards something that she never considered. Like, hey, wait, there may be some level where, let me be frank. You know what would be some funny shit? If you start talking to her, and one day you convince her, like, you know what, you should kiss me one day. You know what I'm saying? If she kisses you.
Oh, hell no.
That was some funny shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, she ugly? Or she's
she...
not, like...
Mm-mm. No. 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 No.
Oh.
No. No. No.
Oh, she's not. Oh, okay. But if or somebody else, for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, or to get her to consider that. Like, you know what? If she ever thought about her sexuality, like, she may ever have a question mark with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be some funny shit. You know what I'm saying? I think that if we get people to open their mind, like, there's nothing harmful. Once we get to understanding, like, all right, yo, look, you exploring your sexuality, like, when you're doing this safely, and these are people that we're talking about in relationships, so we're doing this in relationships. They're pretty much doing this safely. So what really can they really do to hurt each other? I mean, unless, I don't know. So like, oh, I don't know, the candle wax was too hot or some shit. Like, I mean, nobody's gonna hurt anybody.
I mean, I feel you on that, but, you know, just for me, it's just like, sheltered females be the worst ones when you start getting into their mind about sex and what, oh, you ain't never did this, you ain't did that, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know what I mean? So I'm just like, I'm just going to ask you some questions because it's interesting because we are so different, you know what I'm saying? So it's like opposites attract, and like we said today, it feels good to have a difference of opinion or different point of view because that's what makes people get along because you don't want anybody to have the same mind thought as you do. You know what I'm saying? So you want everybody to be different in their own right and have their own thought pattern, their own ideas or whatever. So me, I'm just curious because when she made the comment that, you know, about sex, for me, I'm just like, maybe she didn't have any. Master, hold on 1 second because I think my guest is on the line and we're going to get back to this, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm bugging. 7361, you're live on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Ron Browse.
Hi, Mr. Browse. How are you doing this evening?
What's going on? I'm chilling out. Just getting in town.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to Chocolate City Radio. I'm not sure if you're, like, on Twitter, but I've been blasting off all week about you being on the show, and I'm kind of excited. I can't get too excited because then I don't want people to think I'm a groupie or anything, but I have been a fan of your music when you first came out with Pop Champagne. Yeah, jumping out the window. And then when you was doing the A-Rab Money, I love the remix video. That shit is just so, the beat was crazy. And then you sitting there doing your thing and then Busta's all hype. That's like a great ass video. But your new music is hot too because the person on your side sent me 2 tracks, but I had to go get another one and Never is hot.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of good feedback from that record, surprisingly, because it's kind of different from my norm, you know, from my regular club records. And I think it's a new beginning for me because I think people tried to pigeonhole me into just making one genre of music, like club records. So people accepting that record for me is a new beginning for me.
See, that is a good thing. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners that are on the online and listening on the internet?
Okay, man. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Ron Browse, a.k.a. the Eat the Boy in the building.
So.
Yo.
Go ahead.
Oh, word. On my fault, I ain't want to cut you off. It's not you getting ready to say something. But I wanted to say something about what Ron Browse was saying, matter of fact. As far as the whole, I know the work he's getting with the club records. I mean, that's pretty much what's hot right now on the radio. But, I mean, Ron Browse came to fame for the most notorious and most celebrated diss record of all time.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I'm
yeah. Shout out to Nas. It was a 10-year anniversary. I think it was last year for that record.
What?
Ether.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be a part of, you know, hip hop history. You know what I mean? A lot of people just know me, you know, after Pop Champagne, but people who know the history
mm-hmm.
know I was the creator of the Eat the Beat. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's a blessing to be a part of hip hop history.
Let me ask you, were you concerned, you know what I'm saying, because I've seen some interviews about that, but, like, you know what I'm talking about, were you concerned about the politics because it's Jay? It's not even like, oh, somebody, you know what I mean, oh, I'm involved. Did you ever come close your mind?
At first, I was, when I initially first, you know, when I did the beat, I didn't know what was the plan or what was Nas' direction until he told me come to the studio and mm-hmm. listen to, he's like, yo, come listen to what I did to the beat. So I was like, when I first heard it, I was like, wow, I don't know how, which kind of road this is going to take, but it was a kind of a good road because everybody wanted to know who did that beat.
Yeah.
So I got the opportunity from there to work with, you know, great artists like 50 Cent, Ludacris, uh-huh. Lil' Kim, Fat Joe, a lot of artists, you know. So it kind of opened up a lot of doors. But then I never got to work with Jay or nobody around that affiliation. So I don't know if it is, you know what I'm saying, got something to do with the record or, you know, it is what it is, you know?
I don't think so. I think I feel like your schedule stayed permitted. I feel like these people in that camp were definitely natural. What do you think, is there anything you think, like, as far as the producing game or something like that? There's a lot of new producers that came out in the game or something like that. Like, is there anything you think about in the producing game that's, like, not, that you don't like? Is there anything, that you feel like,
that I don't like?
Yeah, is there any way that you feel like, all right, like, there's any regression in hip-hop, or even if you would say, from takeover time to, like, now?
Around the time I produced Ether and everything, more competition, because I was going up against, like, remember, I was fighting for spots on artist albums, like, you know, your 50 Cent, your Lil' Kim's, and who would go get a production from Swiss, a Neptunes, a Kanye, a Just Blaze, top art Neptune. So I was kind of like, you know, banging heads with them type of producers at the times where you had to be creative, and your beats to get noticed, you had to stick out. Your work had to stick out. I think nowadays, it's fairly easy. Like, you can just get a beat.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't really, it ain't really got to be that creative. It could just be, you know, some couple instruments and there you go. Like, I think it's less thought, less creativity, but I think this year I'm going to bring it back to being, you know, more creative far as, you know, how you used to be far as, you know, the creativity of beat making.
All right. Is anybody my fault. I just want to ask him if there's anybody that's new that he thinks is hot right now.
As far as production?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know the guy who's making, I can't remember his name, the one who's, I think he produced a couple of records for French Montana. I think he's dope. I don't know his name off the top of my head.
Lex Luger?
No, I think Lex is dope. It's, I forgot the other guy name who produced for French Montana.
Harry Ford?
Yeah. That's his name.
Yeah.
Harry Ford, I think he's dope. Lex is dope. A couple new guys are dope. The Mike Wells dude, I think he's dope for what they do. You know, but as far as, you know, creativity and, like, it's been a lack of that as a whole, far as artists and production, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. I definitely agree with that, man.
And I can blame it on, now, artists could come clean and talk about it, because what it is you hear what's going on the radio and you try and adapt to it, what's going on, and you kind of downgrade yourself. You understand? Yeah. So that you know, the less aggression, that's why it's less aggression now, because you listen to the radio and you be like, oh, that's my competition record. Like, I ain't really got to work too hard. Whereas, where it was heavy hitters in the game like Jay, Nas, Big, Pac, you know, in the 90s, the lots and production was, you know, it was like, yo, I'm getting it in. Like, you're bumping the grease. Grease getting it in, Swiss getting it in, Pharrell getting it in, Timbaland. You know what I mean? Timbaland was real creative at the time. So you got to be like, yo, I got to get kind of creative. These dudes is kind of hot. But right now, a lot of hit records ain't really, you know what I mean, they be cool, but they don't be like, yo, that's like phenomenal right there. You know,
Ethan
Bean was phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
That's why it stuck out so much, and people could still listen to it, you know, 10, 12 years later.
Uh-huh.
It was a beat I made from scratch. It wasn't a sample. I made it, you know, straight from nothing.
Yeah, just man. For real, those are beats I prefer, too.
Yeah,
let
yeah,
me
yeah.
clear. Just spit on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Rouse, what song would you like for me to play first? Because I have Where It At Tonight, About That Bread, and then my favorite, Never. Which one would you like to hear first?
You could play About That Bread. Shout out to my boy Mano. Shout out to everybody who About That Bread, because every day we all wake up and the main focus is to get that bread. So you could go into me featuring Mano. That's my brother. We've been on the road together, Africa, Japan. So it's like substance there. It's not like, you know, I just, yo, Mano email me a verse. It's like, yo, that's my brother. So you can play that record.
Okay, here we go. About That Bread, Ron Browse featuring Mano.
See, I made it to the club, so I can find some talent, yeah. Bruh. Point out the maters, they gon' get the caliber. Yeah. Every day, it's a new bitch on the calendar. Yeah. Brung out some racks, so I can fucking style on. Yeah, that bread, bout that fucking bread, bout that fucking bread. Getting head, getting fucking head, getting fucking head. Bout that bread, bout that fucking bread, bout that fucking bread. Getting head, getting fucking head, getting fucking head. Gotta sleep, never in the bed, never in the bed. Let me sleep with your baby mom, getting fucking head. In this trap, count me fucking bread, count me fucking bread. Try and creep, feel that fucking land, feel that fucking land. I be going on these bitches, counting all of my bitches. That ass big, I mean so big, my bend it open, I'm slipping. Fuck up, bro, talk, don't fit it. Your girl, all of my bitches. We in the club, we spend the mill before the feds come get it. Yeah, celebrate myself, yeah, yeah, I'm proud of me. Yeah, mommy, put your lips on me, that's the policy. Yeah, your boy spit crack, now let's try to keep. Yeah, she don't wanna say English, just swallow me. Might have met her in Cong, might have met her on the east side. Links mob in the bitch, I'ma show you how we rap. Ghost parked outside, just me and my G guy. I don't know about y'all, but me and my niggas be fly. See, I made it into the club, so I could find some talent, bruh. Point out the maters, they gon' get the caliber. Every day, it's a new bitch on the calendar. Brung out some racks, so I can fucking style it. Yeah, that bread, bout that fucking bread, bout that fucking bread. Getting head, getting fucking head, getting fucking head. Bout that bread, bout that fucking bread, bout that fucking bread. Getting head, getting fucking head, getting fucking head.
I'm about that bread, that fucking bread. I'm about that bread, I said, bitch, please, don't bite that head. Don't bite that head, now bring your friend. Just bring your friend, come bless me, please. I both go in, that both go in. Oh, lucky me, I'm on that certified boo-boo shit. R.I.P. to my old bitch. Fuck you and your whole thing. Can't defend against my offense. Step inside of my office. You wanna roll with that black mob? Wanna ride with some real niggas? Wanna live? Better ask God. Fast cars like NASCAR. Blast off like NASCAR. Be a part of that mafia. Machine gun in a black R. We bout bread, nigga, fuck fame. Ron Browse with a champagne. 30 bitches, 30 fumbles. We live that. It's not a game.
Made you to the club, so I can find some talent, bruh. Point out the maters, they gon' get the caliber. Every day, it's a new bitch on the calendar. Brung out some racks, so I can fucking style it. Yeah, that bread, bout that fucking bread, bout that fucking bread. Getting head, getting fucking head, getting fucking head. Bout that bread, bout that fucking bread, bout that fucking bread. Getting head, getting fucking head, getting fucking head.
As hell. When I first first heard it in my email, I was like, oh my gosh, like, when you, okay, who made that beat?
I made it.
And I had to check. Like, see, this is my thing. When you're with anybody that's making a beat, like, what, like, how do you, like, go through the process of, like, yo, this shit is hot, or this is going to be a winner? Like, what goes through your mind when you're being the mad scientist of making beats?
It's a vibe. It's a vibe you get when you messing around with sounds, and you know you playing with melodies inside of your head, and you it's kind of like, you know, you make a magic and experiment. So, you know, just getting some sounds together, getting a groove, a feel, a bounce. Like, how can people, you know, if you got a vision and go to the clubs, you can be like, oh, how people gonna react to this in the club? And you know, it's a couple things. You gotta have some type of, you know, some swag and know how people going to react to it, or how you would react to it if you heard it somewhere.
Now, have you ever been asleep, like in a deep sleep, and then all of a sudden you get this idea for a beat and you just wake the fuck up and then you start working on it and then you're up for hours at a time?
Nah. Nah. Yeah. I know people be saying, oh, I was asleep and I was thinking of this melody in my head. Nah. I'm just hands-on, like, you know, this is what I do. So as soon as I go, you know, turn on the equipment or whatever, it's just whatever comes to head. And, well, you can, it could be self-planned, like, oh, today I want to make this kind of a beat today.
Ooh.
So you can't plan it out like that, like, oh, today I just want to make a street record, or I want to make something electronic sounding, or something that sounds Arabic. You could do stuff like that.
Now, you've worked with a lot of people in the past. Name your, like, the three best people you worked with from the past.
Best?
Yeah, that you felt was like, you know what, I really enjoyed working with them. They work ethics were, like, on point. They were very compatible with mine, and I could really work with them again.
Yeah, I'll say Nas, because we did two records together, the, you know, Ether and Last Real Nigga Alive. Shout out to the whole G-Unit family, because I did multiple records for 50, Yayo, and Lloyd Banks. And who else? Shout out to Remy, who's locked up, because me and Remy started working, doing a lot of records, too. And I'm sure when she come home, we're going to pick off where we left off at.
Okay. Shout out to Remy. Now, yeah. I got to touch on what you were talking about with the artists of today, because it's like, I'm in North Carolina, and for me, I can't stand listening to the radio because it's saturated with the same shit over and over and over and over. But then it's like when I go outside of my market, outside of my area, like if I'm in Atlanta, I'm hearing stuff that I'm never going to hear in North Carolina. You know, I might hear it in Raleigh, or maybe if I'm lucky in Charlotte. Or when I'm in New York, I hear, like, you know, different versions of different songs and stuff like that. And for me, I would have to say when I was introduced to the All Gold Everything, my mouth dropped. Because I was just like, what the fuck? And then to look at the video, I was just like, are you fucking serious? And then you get a fucking deal? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, okay, that's one. Then I listened to 2 Chainz, and that's only because my kids, if I'm riding in the car with my kids and I'm in their shit, you know, I have to listen to what they listen to. And he's very special. He's very special.
What is,
let's see. Go ahead.
Huh?
I was like, go ahead, because I know you got something sick.
Every artist have what they bring to the table, right?
Yeah.
It's, I think a lot of us grew up with artists with substance. Like, one day, let's say Jay and Nas. Nas, one day, his main record is If I Rule the World. Still got, it's a record, Uplifting with Substance. Then tomorrow he could do Uchi Wally club record. Then the next day it could be song about, you know, memories and stuff like that. And Jay-Z had the same capabilities. Like right now with nobody with Substance, you don't hear a mixture of that on the radio. Like, it's just like straight, it's just the ratchet era right now. So everything's pretty much ratchet. There's nothing with no such type of substance. No substance. So, like, I get it. I'm not against it because I do get it. And sometimes we fall victim to that as artists. Like, oh man, it's all ratchet stuff on the radio. I got to make something ratchet. And I'm gonna be honest. I was one of them artists. Like, oh, it's nothing but ratchet records out. I got to make me a ratchet record. But knowing in your heart you want to do something else, but being that it's so much of that on the radio, you like, if I don't, you look like an outsider if you start trying to do records that's not like that. So I think it just takes for people to just, you know, reprogram and people to start being true to themselves, and then we're going to get some better work. Don't get me wrong, like, some of the records, you know, they dope when you're in the club and, you know, but sometimes you do want to just get a mixture of everything. It's like, everything is just, like, the same.
And now, I have a mixtape that's coming out. I'm not a rapper. I'm not a singer or anything like that. I'm not a DJ. I just have this thing where I like to give indie artists a platform to be heard, because, you know, I have like a crazy reach, I have a nice following and everything like that. And I think for me, I went to the studio this weekend and I had to do my drops. And I think, I don't know, I just feel like with mixtapes, it's like a different type of vibe, because I listen to other artists' mixtape, mainstream artists, indie artists and stuff like that. And the music is good, but I feel like your drops have to be interesting, or you have to have something to hold people's attention, because you got so many people dropping mixtapes that you just don't want to be a number. What would your advice be to somebody that's making a mixtape? What would you advise them to do above anything else?
Don't listen to the radio. When I was listening to the radio, I started making records that I thought would be hot for the radio. And for the, like, you think, like, that's what you're supposed to be doing. But, like, sometimes you're not, people are not being true to themselves. Like, I got a mixtape album called The Christening. That's just, like, I got really good reviews about it on online and stuff, and it wasn't nothing like what I've been putting out. So now I'm like, that's what I need to be doing. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, I'm putting out records like Never. That's about so I can make the transition to you know, making just music, pretty much. And not everything don't have to be so ratchet.
Now, you said you made a ratchet song. Now, what song would that be?
I'm not going to lie. I would say Thought That Bread is ratchet. I think it's dope, but I know it's ratchet. You know, I'm going to be honest. It's dope. I think it's dope. It's ratchet. It's for, like, you know, going to club, turn up, yeah, woo, 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 but never something, yeah, sit down, listen to it. And now, you know, the funny thing, I've been getting so much good feedback. I'm like, yeah, that's what I need to be doing. Like, just really talking about some real things and real topics and just being real to myself, you know? And when you're being real to yourself, other people can relate. So, to be honest, when I make the ratchet records and then I be out in the public, it'll really be like, it'd be like, yo, that record is, you know, nah, it's cool. But then when I drop a record like Never, I'm out and about, people connecting with me like, yo, that's hot. I was just in Minnesota and people was like, yo, that Never song. hot. So it reminds me, like, everything ain't got to be so ratchet and, you know, you can just do you.
And see, that makes sense because from reading your Wikipedia and just from looking at your videos from back in the day and then looking at Never, it's like you have, like, so many different lanes. And then it's like listening to your music and then listening to your voice. Your voice is soft, like not saying it like in a bad way, like it's like a fruity soft or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's just like
right.
It's like very, you have an even tone. So if I was in the streets and I saw you and, you know, being from the South, I speak to everybody, you know what I'm saying? And if I was to be like, hello, and you'd be like, hello, your tone is a approachable tone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it easy for people to come up and talk to you, but not crowd your space. But every now and then, I'm sure you come across this, when you're out and about, you may have someone come up to you and ask you your opinion, ask you your advice, and you may make that person's day because you're taking time out of your schedule and you're, like, giving them a piece of you in advice or just in a conversation, and that means a lot to people.
Yeah, I always connect with people when I'm out, you know, especially the young fellas, yo, because, you know, it's two sides of me. I do production and I'm an artist, so they could kick it with me on a production level or they could kick it with me on an artist level. And I always give them, you know, advice and things to do because people be trying to hold you, gyms and stuff. Like, nah, I ain't telling you how to get on. Like, you know what I mean? I figured the ropes out, so I'm like, yo, I'm going to pass it on. And, you know, hopefully just try and help everybody eat. That's like when I did Pop Champagne, it was nothing for me to, you know, the original Pop Champagne didn't have Jim and Jewels on it. And then I met Jim, and, like, he wanted to be a part of it, so I made him a part of it. Then we brought along Jewels, and it was a big success. So I'm always, like, cool, keep it cool. And you never know who gonna be, you know, that next person next week. Somebody you diss or not, you know, kick it with next month, they'd be the biggest artist, and you'd be looking crazy. I remember going in offices before Pop Champagne and people looking at me crazy. And then after the record dropped, I'm getting called back in the same offices.
That is crazy.
So you want to always try and keep it cordial with everybody because you never know.
You know what? You have a point. Now, I'm asking some questions and I have some people that have questions for you. Now, I'm just a crazy person and I just be asking whatever comes up. What are your thoughts on the reality shows when it comes to displaying hip hop, you know, loving hip hop, New York loving hip hop, Atlanta, and all these other ratchet shows? Like, how do you feel about the portrayal of hip hop, and could you see yourself being on a show like that?
Like I said, I was taught young, everything ain't for everybody. So, and kind of like I think Mona Scott said it, if you don't like it, don't watch it. So, some stuff I may tune into, some stuff I may not. But me, I like to learn stuff from something. If I can't really learn nothing, I'm not really going to tune in. But if I feel like I'm learning something, I'll tune in and watch it. Some people watch it. But some people be like, yo, Ron, that all the reality shows is entertainment. I think we get the reality term misconstrued and think it's like for real. But people be like, yo, Ron, it's entertainment. You got to look at it like it's entertainment. So maybe some of us is looking at it, taking it serious when it's entertainment. You understand what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
So, I mean, some stuff I watch, some stuff I don't watch. You know, I have an issue with a lot of them as far as how women is being portrayed. Because, you know, the young girls is watching it, and it's like these girls is older women, and they're on there fighting and cussing, and young girls see that, and they feel like that's what's up. Like, they, that's how they need to act. That's the only thing I have an issue with, like, people, you know, kids is easily influenced. They see stuff, they feel like, oh, that's how I got to act. So all the girls scrapping and doing all that, that's not cool. They still in school. So I can imagine if I was school, you know, when we, when dudes was in school, we wanted to be like the dudes we saw on TV. We wanted to be like the artists we saw, like, or a figure. When Juice came out, dudes wanted to be like Pop. So we are easily influenced, and sometimes it's bad influence.
I fool you on that. I'm going to bring in my co-host. Hey, Ashton, how the hell are you? Damn it.
Oh, how you doing?
Oh, you'll call in for Ron, but you wouldn't call in just to say hi to me, huh? See how
you
do?
What are you talking about? You're out of control. Sure, you know, I don't do no people. I was like, who's that? Let me say hi to my favorite girl. How you doing?
Ron, she lying. She wouldn't call in for me, but she had to call in to hear you. Damn, she's like an hour late. Damn.
Oh, my gosh. I have family here. You know, the kids were still, they was acting like they didn't want to go to sleep. But me and my cousin is here sipping on some stuff, and we was like, I was like, oh, no, I got to call in now. It's quiet now.
Oh, cool. Now, Ron, here go a good question for you. Now, if you had to make a reality show, what would it be about?
What would my reality show?
What is your reality? Everybody has their own reality. And like you said, what they're portraying as reality is entertainment, because the real reality is the shit that happens when the cameras are rolling, but we don't see it. So if you could have your own reality show, what would it be?
It have to be something somebody want to watch. It'll be half entertaining, half about what's, you know, what's really going on. And it's because it's a lot of real stuff going on, and it'll probably be half and half, like half entertainment, you know, making people laugh, because I like to watch stuff that make me laugh, and half real stuff, and how to handle yourself in the, you know, the industry or whatever. Because there's a lot of stuff that's going on that if you don't know, you'll be lost.
You know what? You're right about that. My thing is, I feel like if people really wanted to do the music industry some justice, they should have a reality show of the people that made it, that are making it, and are trying to make it, and the motherfuckers that have fell off, to let people know all the shit that happens that nobody really speaks about, all the fuckery that goes on in the industry, and how you just don't become a one-hit wonder. You know what I'm saying? People like to take the shortcuts and don't talk about the struggles. Real artists do, but I just be like, you know, I've had the opportunity to work closely with some artists, and they tell me of their struggles. You know, like how some people was, like, actually homeless, and then once they got a deal, you know, it was good, but it wasn't good because they had nobody to tell them, like, yo, you're being offered all this money, but you're being fucked at the end. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. And it's like, why can't people make a show about that? Or why can't some artists be like, you know what, this is what I'm going to do this month. I'm going to have a workshop. You know what I'm saying? I may charge, I may not charge, I may get somebody to sponsor it, and I'm going to let artists know what the term starving artist mean, or how you really got to be dedicated to this. Everything ain't going to come overnight. You know what I'm saying? You're going to really have to starve and go without this, go without that, and you really got to stay focused and you got to stay humble. Ain't too many people doing that.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a balance. Like, it's cool to, you know, show the ups, like, you know, pop, fun time, party, you know, but sometimes some people want to be a little educated on certain things. So they should, you know, put some of that stuff in there and you know, and you're able to learn. Because even shows, period, a few years ago, they used to put messages in shows, and after you watch it, you'd be like, oh, I got that. I got the whole thing of the whole show. So, you know, if they put stuff in a little bit more that people can learn, and it'd be cool.
But, yeah, you got a point. Like, now, when I look at a lot of different shows, the message that I'm getting is, if you fuck the right person, you can make it. If you fuck the right bitch, you can make it. Or if you trifling enough and you willing to sell out, you can make it. I don't really see the positive in nothing. Even on
not
family
cool.
shows. It's like...
Yeah.
What
the fuck? Not cool. It's not cool at all.
I mean, I'm just saying. I got to play Never because I keep talking about it, and I know people's like, what the hell is she talking about? We are playing Never. Now, y'all got to pay attention to the words of this song, and it's real clear. And if you want a visual, go on YouTube, type in Never by Ron Brown. I then look at it because it's like a black and white video. Black and white videos are really good. And ladies, pay attention to his lips. Like, he is just, like, so sexy in this video. And it's, like, natural. He's not doing nothing crazy. He's just keeping it 100 about shit he would never do.
Yeah.
A lot of men can't do that. A lot of men be lying. I'll never pay for pussy. You're lying. I'll never do this. You're lying. But your honesty in the video, because, you know, I'm pretty much a good character person. Your spirit and just, like, the whole demeanor in the video is perfect. Like, everything is even. You have an even tone. The video is just, like, natural, and it captures a lot of your natural attributes in the music.
Yeah.
It really does. So
yeah, shout out to my boy Brandon. Shout out to my boy Brandon who shot the video for me. He's a dope director from Pittsburgh. He moved to New York, and we working hand in hand, and we plan on changing the game. And that record right there is just like the beginning.
Okay, so here goes Never. Okay, let me scroll down to it. Here we go.
Yeah. Some things you just know without it having to be told to you. It's already in your mind. It's already your way of life. How you live already, and how you breathe.
I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. Never, nah, never, nah, never, nah, never, nah, never.
They said a man words is everything. Feds took the house, yo, the perfect thing. My nigga said it's the worst everything. Wanna grab the hammer, murk everything. Shorty bad in the little kilt. Get pussy, hey nigga, fuck, get killed. Money taller than six stilts. Spread the work like a big quilt.
Get it.
Real hustler, no G money. Them 50 racks, that was G money.
Yeah.
You act like I never seen money.
No.
Left in the park the last time I seen money.
Real shit.
I need a little more than a freak. New spot, cost a little more than Philippe. Courtside, let a sub marry us. Richard Mill shitting on a sub mariner.
I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money.
leave, kiss her on the face.
Yeah.
Only if she knew what we was chopping on a plate.
Forgive me.
Your enemies barely is the case.
Nah.
Be a loyal nigga plotting on your state.
Yes, sir.
Way the loyal nigga instinct.
Real shit.
Just need a real nigga that's instinct.
Yeah.
Ain't see a strong team since they closed the ring.
Balls.
Fear no evil written in ink.
Yeah.
Couple folies on you niggas' wrists.
Yeah.
Those ain't rollies on you niggas' wrists.
Nah.
Couple spurs like Ginobili niggas.
Work.
They look like trolleys, that's them niggas' bitches. Your life is what it is, no do-over.
No.
Open up the closet like the zoo over.
Burn.
Back in 95, wanted the Blue Rover.
Yeah.
212, looking like the new Polar.
Rich.
I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. I ain't never let a bitch stop me from getting money. Never, nah, 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 never, nah.
My co-host was like, as soon as the beat dropped and the bass came in, her cousin started dancing. Now, see, that's the type of music I like to listen to. That song was, like, so nice. And when I saw the video, I was like, yep, I'm going to have to go ahead and get that and play that for the night, too. Because I was like, I don't know why he ain't seeing that one. I mean, I ain't not wrong with the other two that he sent me. But that one was nice, and you just shot the video a week ago.
Yeah, the thing is, people trying to pigeonhole me, like I said, into one genre. And I'm from Harlem, New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm full of substance. And it's like this year, I want to share that with the world. Like, that I'm full of substance. I'm not just, you know, it was a blessing to make Pop Champagne with. I went across the world. But I felt like I still didn't connect with people. You understand? Like, people don't still know who I am as an individual. I was signed to a big label. I didn't feel like they, you know what I mean? They portrayed me in the right way. You understand?
Yeah.
It was just like, when you sign with a big label, it was like I put that Pop Champagne out independent, and they called me. You understand? Labels and stuff called me. And at the end of the day, I just want the record. I don't know if they really care about your well-being or who you is as a person or get to know you as a person and really know what you really want to do and what you want out of your career. So, and I left the label on that note like, oh, you know, I don't want to hold your career up. So if you want to leave, you can. And I was like, you know, stand for something or fall for anything. I was like, well, I'd rather go do me and show the world what type of artist I really am.
Now, tell me about this mixtape.
Which one?
The one that's, is it out already?
Which, that Never is off a mixtape called Stranded on Linux.
Okay, hold on. Let's see here. Okay, the King of Auto-Tune mixtape.
The King of Auto-Tune mixtape will not be happening.
Oh, okay.
The King of Auto-Tune mixtape will not be happening because I've started to get comparisons to Future, and don't get me wrong, Future's a good artist, but like I said, I'm a man of substance, and I feel I got more, I got a lot of things to talk about, I got a lot of stuff to bring to the game musically and vocally and just ideas and stuff. Like, I don't want to be pigeonholed into to, you know, like, y'all, come on, y'all, compare me to Future. Like, that's not only what I do. Like, the auto-tune stuff is fun. I have fun doing it. But it's, I'm not connecting with my peoples. You understand? It's like I'm connected with the clubs. I'm not connected with my peoples. So I just taking a time out to let me connect to the people. So the Auto-Tune, King Auto-Tune, was a mixtape I was going to put out. But then as I started putting records out, like, never. And people was like, yo, we dig your voice. Like, you know, women and dudes would be like, yo, your voice is, your tone, you need to just rock out. So I'm like, you know what? Let me switch my focus and get back on a, you know, get on another path. So that's what I'm doing right now. And a mixtape probably is going to come out, but I'm not, it's untitled at the moment.
I can't even front, because when I heard About Their Bread, and mm-hmm. then when you go to Never,
it's like, two different feels, right?
Yeah, you do a double take, like, what? Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Damn, it's like a softer side of Ron. Okay, you know, like you said, that was ratchet. Now, this is the soft side. And then speaking with you and the evenness in your voice, it's just like, okay. So I can see about, you know, okay, fuck the auto-tune, because I'm not
yeah.
even going to front. When you came out, I was just like, oh, shit, he's a T-Pain in New York. He's bringing it back for New York. But I like
yeah.
you better than T-Pain because he was cuter. You know what I'm saying? But I've always been a New York chick. I mean, I'm from the South, but
mm-hmm.
New York has just always been, like, so original when it comes to hip hop. Everything started there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, going back and forth between New York and Atlanta and the music and everything like that. It's just like, okay. You know? So
mm-hmm.
I can understand that. And, you know, I'm not mad that you're not doing the King of Auto-Tune, because, like you said, you can't be compared to Future, because there is no comparison, because you're on a whole different level because of the type of artist that you've worked with. No diss to Future or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I would really like to hear him without auto-tune or without crooning, see what the fuck he sound like. You know what I'm saying? Then we'll see if he's going to do charts and do numbers and shit like that. But it's like you're at your, like you're taking the sheets off. No fakeness. It's like for
yeah.
a female, when you see her with no makeup and no rings,
yeah.
no nail tips and stuff like that, we're seeing you in your purest form right now.
Yeah.
And never. So I can just imagine what everything else is going to sound like.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
Oh,
and
trust me. I'm going to find out, because, let me see, is it Ahmed, is that how I pronounce his name?
Who?
Because that's who arranged the interview. A-M-M-E-D, but his email is like Jesse James or something.
Okay, I know you're talking about.
Wild West Entertainment. Because did he tell you about the magazine?
No. Being honest, we keeping it on it. I don't know about the magazine.
Oh, damn. My feelings ain't hurt. Don't worry about it.
No, you can
okay.
tell me now, though. I'm on the line.
Oh, I'm going to tell you everything. I have a magazine. It's called Chocolate City Magazine. And when I got the email about interviewing you for the show, I sent an email back and was like, hey, would he be interested in being featured in my magazine? Because I haven't done my magazine since sometime last year, because I took time off because I was at a photo shoot and I fell and I basically tore up my shoulder. I had to get my ligaments sewn back together and everything, so I had to stop a whole lot of stuff.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm good now somewhat. So I'm bringing back the magazine, Chocolate City Magazine. I'm bringing back the summer and the spring issue, and I want to feature you in it, and
I need the
I
cover.
Want you to have
I
more.
I want to be the cover.
You want to be the cover?
Yeah, I'm not good enough for the cover.
Oh,
I'm putting you on blast right now.
Actually, he was setting himself up. He just don't know what kind of show this is.
He's talking about putting you on blast. Oh, Lord.
You know what? We can do that because I'm just like, you know, when you say he was from Harlem, I felt a certain kind of way because I feel Harlem dudes are kind of whack and kind of soft.
They're flamboyant.
And lousy fuckers. But you know what? who gave us
that bad name, that bad reputation? Wow.
It could have been a couple of Harlem dudes I fucked that just, ooh, wow.
Oh, man,
like,
they put it down for the town.
Like, Harlem had a bad taste in my mouth, so you kind of brought it back for Harlem. But I got to have you in the magazine, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to do some very special questions for you.
I have no problem with answering them.
What?
I will answer all the questions.
Do you know what kind of radio show you on?
I'm on it. Y'all supposed to fill me in, like, you know?
Oh, my God. No, where is the disclaimers before these people get on the show?
Okay, see, normally when I have artists on, when I'm promoting them, they click on little links to be nosy and stuff like that. But I can see you doing everything by the book. You are on a sex talk radio show.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Nobody even informed me on that.
I don't think Wild West or whatever knew about it. I just think she was just like, okay, this, because I'm on LinkedIn. I do a lot of professional stuff. I do a lot of promoting and everything like that. And he probably like, you know what, this would be a good fit. So, you know, I have a question, and I mean, it's just something I want to know. Like, what is the wildest groupie moment that you've ever had?
Wildest? My shows really turned up, so. I mean, and you know what, my end of my shows be predominantly women, so. Well, I turning it up in the club.
Oh, so you don't fuck
inside
in
the
club?
Inside
the
club.
In the club. You be fucking in the club after your show?
I've done it.
Oh, wow. Oh, my.
I mean,
be serious. I'm a real Harlem boy.
Ooh. Raunchy.
I thought Harlem dudes was too pretty to get down
no,
and raunchy like
man.
That.
They
crazy.
Some of
oh,
them.
Shit.
Some of them will break a sweat. not all.
Damn, he really be popping champagne.
Yeah, it's not a game.
Oh my god. Okay, hold on. Before I get turned up, I gotta play this one. Hold on. What the hell is it? It's the Where It At Tonight. I gotta play that one because after I play that one, then it's about to be crazy. Let me know what your time is like, because I don't want to keep you from anything and stuff like that. So.
No, we rocking. As long as you get
okay.
All your questions out.
Oh, shit. Oh, and then, you know, normally what I do is after the artist comes on my show, I write a blog, and I promote it. I put pictures. Most definitely the video never is going to
mm-hmm.
be on the blog for you.
Thank
and
you.
Whatever else you want me to put on there, like links for your music and stuff like that, and I'll promote that for like 2-3 weeks, and it'll go out like every 3 to 4 hours because you'll see it because your name is going to be in the link for it. And on my website, I average about 40,000 hits a month, so people are going to see you, and they're going to read what, you know, I have to say. And this radio interview And I'll also be on the blog so people can go back and listen, and your Twitter, and, you know, I need to get your Facebook and all those. So when they click on the links, it actually takes them to your page, and they can follow you, they can like your fan page and everything like that. And also with the magazine, it's a digital magazine, so your videos will play and it'll count towards your views on YouTube and everything like that. It's completely interactive, so it's going to be fun. It is going to be great. You kind of make me want to come out to New York and fucking interview you in person and put your ass on camera, not in a bad way or anything like that, because I'm actually trying to get used to coming, doing a transition from radio, going into TV, because everybody wants me to take it and make it a TV show. So I'm, like, kind of working on that and everything like that. So I will be traveling and, you know, interviewing artists and stuff like that and having a good time. So that may be something I can work out, come to Harlem and give Harlem a good shout-out on camera.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so I'm Great Play. We're in at tonight, and then we're going to come back, and then we have a caller from California. Hi, Rich. And then we had the caller from earlier. Then we have my scheming-ass co-host on the line, and we have a slew of other people in the chat room and everything. So here we go.
This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips.
Look at shorty in the middle. A million niggas wanna get you. Spend the money ain't an issue. Turn around and make a jiggle. I wait, they want to hit the boy back. Rollie on black in the club getting smacked. Now wait, niggas drinking, smoking. Mommy, let me see you bust it open. I know you came to shake it. Bottles in the air get faded. Sorry I had to wait. Toast to the niggas that made it. Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight?
This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips.
Look at shorty in the middle. A million niggas wanna get you. Spend the money ain't an issue. Turn around and make a jiggle. Hey, look at her hair. If I'm in LA, you might catch me in club hair. Nah, I don't see y'all nowhere. Stand your pay back and both in the pair. Yeah, mommy, I hear you. I'm trying to mess up your handle. I don't make my jelly. Pop up and make some my jelly. Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight?
This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips.
Look at shorty in the middle. A million niggas wanna get you. Spend the money ain't an issue. Turn around and make a jiggle. You sexy, you should show it, show it. Let the whole world know it, know it. Sexy, you should show it, show it. Let the whole world know it, know it. Sexy, you should show it, show it. Let the whole world know it, know it. Sexy, you should show it, show it. Let the whole world know it, know it. Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight? Where it at tonight?
This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips. This the shit to make you move your hips.
Look at shorty in the middle. A million niggas wanna get you. Spend the money ain't an issue. Now turn around and make a jiggle.
Damn, we're at Ed tonight, mate. We want to twerk. Oh, my God.
That record's a dope record, man.
Oh, shit. Oh,
club
my
record
God.
Is easy, man.
Oh, see, that's that shit that gets you super, super turned up.
Yeah.
Rich Hines, how would they keep
Yeah, y'all.
That Cali.
What's good? What's good? What's good with you, man?
What's good? What's good? What's up?
Oh, I'm good. I'm blessed, man. You know what I mean? Out here, you know, in Hollywood, man, living it up, being blessed.
Okay.
Okay. You know? Yeah, man. Yeah, to you, man. First of all, man, I appreciate and respect. You know what I mean? Your movement. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've been following you for a minute, man. So your whole movement, like, everything is vibing down here on the West Coast, man. We're feeling it, and you know, keep doing what you're doing.
What's up? Where you said you at?
I'm in Hollywood. I'm in Cali.
Okay. I've been out to Cali a couple of times, enjoying myself.
Yeah, man. It's
matter of fact, when I wear that tonight, I say, son, you might catch me when I'm in L.A., you might catch me in Club Air. I was in Club Air when I was out there.
You need to come check out the Supper Club, man, or Greystone, or Roxbury out here in L.A. I'm sure you heard about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I haven't been out there in a minute, but I will return.
Oh, yeah, you got to, man. And I was just telling Chuck earlier, like, there's a track that you had, like, I don't know if you're going to do something with the beat, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's fire, the Just Want Money.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to, that was a project I put out. Somebody convinced me to put out an instrumental mixtape because it was a lot of instrumentals and records I was producing and throwing out. And I just wanted to just give back to the MCs and rappers and upcoming artists because I know it's hard to get instrumentals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yo, let me just put together a mixtape, instrumentals. So, and that's a beat off of off the mixtape, off the instrumental mixtape. So y'all could go to that piff and download Deron Brown's Instrumentals Volume 1. It's crazy. A lot of people don't know I produce I Get Crazy for Nicki Minaj. That instrumental is on there. This is straight out of Southside that I produced for G-Unit is on there. The Ether instrumental is on there, I believe. It's just a lot of dope instrumentals that I produce is on there, man. I just wanted to give back and put out an instrumental CD.
It's fire, man. Like I don't rap, but I see myself freestyling on it. You know what I mean? Like let me get off on this beat. It goes. You know what I mean? So I don't do none of that. You know, but hey, I was spitting. I sounded tight to it. I think.
That's how I know if a beat is hot. I'm like, yo, this. If you can say anything to this beat, it's hot.
Exactly. Say anything. FEMA's gonna love it, man. That beat is fire, man. I don't know what you plan on doing with it. You're just gonna leave it out there for somebody to take it.
I gave it to the world, man.
Okay.
Freestyle over it, man. Jump on it. Do anything you want to do with it, man. But somebody, the wise man, always told me, like, if this is what you do, if you make beats and that's what you do, then it shouldn't be a problem to make more than one of, you know what I'm saying? If you make something hot, I mean, I can make something else hot. So I got good work ethic, so I make beats all day.
Exactly, man. That's fire, man. You know what I mean? Appreciate it. Everything is love down here in Cali, man. When you stop through, man, you got to definitely, you know what I mean, hit your boy up, man. You know what I mean? We're hit the Supper Club or hit somewhere. You know what I mean? It's always popping out in Hollywood. If you know how to party, which I figured you know how to party because you know what I mean, like you don't pop champagne. You know, a person don't pop champagne and don't know how to party at the same time. You know what I mean? So you with that man down in Hollywood in LA, like you know, we got you.
Okay, so when I touch down, I gotta hit you and ask you where that tonight.
Ha.
Well, Bill now, he's a club whore.
Oh, you know.
That must mean he got all the girls, man. He got all the ladies then.
I got
answer that question. You got all the ladies, don't you?
I got a couple. I got like one or two, three, four. Maybe you can keep on going to the member that, you know, you keep going. You can stop at 100 or 200 if you want, or 300 or 400. Now, I know a lot of people, though, man. I'm in the industry, so, you know what I mean? It's like, I just know a lot of people. You know, you can't help who you know or who knows you.
Or who knows the dick. Got you. On that note, Mr. Ron, I tweeted out the link to that mixtape to everybody so they could go ahead and capture that and listen to it. Me personally, I'm going to go and I'm going to listen to it tonight. And if I find a beat, I'm sure I'm going to find a funky-ass beat, I'm going to go in the studio this weekend. Like, I'm not going to rap. I'm just going to be in a studio talking shit and have the music behind me and shout you out and then put the shit on YouTube.
That's dope. And I'm sure you're going to find something. Because there's about 40 instrumentals on it.
I'm going to find a lot. Now, we're turned up. Now, let's see. Ashley, I'm going to go there. Ron, have you ever heard the terminology, my head game is a felony? What, like, if somebody told you that, what would come to mind?
You got to prove that. You can't just say that.
Oh.
Ashley?
You can't say you're the best. You got to prove it.
I'm not saying it's the best. It's just the slogan. If somebody says their head game is a felony, I would just be like.
Yeah, I'll say, Ma, you got to prove that. I got to be the judge of that.
Okay, do you prefer a female to spit or swallow?
Ooh, I'm sorry?
Do you prefer a female to spit or swallow?
Swallow is more exciting.
Swallow.
Like, wow, you're a
don't
pro.
Don't waste it. I worked it hard for it. Don't waste it.
Oh, God. I forgot. I got men on the line here.
Swallow
okay.
is like, oh, my, you're definitely a pro.
Okay. Now... What is, like, being an artist and then being an actor, because we have an artist and we have an actor, we have a, you know, artist producer and then we have an actor. It's like, what do you guys look for in females? Because I know you're bombarded with a lot of females that's always trying to get up with you and everything like that. What is some themes or some characteristics about females that stand out to you the most? You know what I'm saying?
A chick with personality, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Chick with personality, y'all can bug out, laugh. If you can fit in, if you could just fit in, and it don't feel like, yo, I'm with, you know, like, yo, I'm with a, like, if you could just fit in, like, jokey, laughy, and just down, like, yo, we going here. All right, cool. Like, don't care. Like, what's really the mission? Like, you know, to just chill. Like, yo, we're going to the studio. Cool. All right. Yo, we're going over here to eat. All right. Cool. We're going over here to hang out. Cool. Hey, no bougie. No, the bougie chicks is. Nobody want to hang out with them. Man. Pretty chicks. Nah. Just cool chicks, man. Cool personalities.
When they get there, they don't want
to
handle it. You can't handle
that. Yeah. What's your favorite drink?
Huh?
What's your favorite drink?
Ciroc and coconut.
Yeah, Ciroc and cranberry.
Sprite. Okay. So I'm on the coconut Ciroc and Sprite.
Yes, if I'm in the club, if it ain't a rosé,
But have y'all had the grape or the watermelon Ciroc? I know they dropping it sometime this year, but you know what I mean. I was in Vegas and. They had like some little samples of the grape and the watermelon Ciroc.
No, I haven't had that yet.
Oh yeah, the grape one's off the chain though.
Now, I'm Mr. Ron. When do you plan on coming to North Carolina?
You know what? I came to North Carolina. Yo, I know. I got a friend out there. She's beautiful, man. And I need to come out there, man, and party because I came out there a couple times and I had fun. So I'm looking to come back out there.
Now, when you come back out here, you have to hit me up because I saw any artist that comes to my city. I don't know why, but when artists come down here to perform or when they come down here, they always want to go to the mall. And I'm like, why the fuck do y'all do that? Do y'all not know how many fucking colleges that we have in our city and in our state? Like, why don't y'all just go to the colleges and that's, like, hella fans that you have and new people that you have the potential of reaching? So when you come down here, we got to hit North Carolina A&T State. We got to hit Winston-Salem State.
That'd be the promoters who don't be knowing what to do with the artists. They just think artists want to go to the mall or... The whole purpose is to go to other towns is to connect with the people.
man, and they fuck up. And then their manager hit me up like, yo, Chuck, such and such was here. Yeah, did they go to the college? Man, nah. I'm like, but they took their ass to the mall, though, didn't they? They was looking for some weed. They was looking for some pussy. They should have been on the college's networking. I'm like, y'all fucked up. It's like, I'd be like, don't come to my city and don't tell me because you're going to fuck up because I'm going to tell you if the promoter's any good. I'm going to tell you if the club is any good, if it's going to be a good turnout or not. And then they'd be like, yo, we came down there, we performed, like, but you didn't hit me up. And watch, the club was whack, right? They'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, what club was you at? I'm like, see, that's why. Y'all fucking with fuck niggas. When you fuck with fuck niggas, you get fuck results. I can't help it.
Yeah, the whole purpose, the whole purpose is to connect with the fans, with the people, people who've been rocking with you.
Yeah, exactly. But see, they don't do that, and I just sit there, and I'm like, if I ever decided to be a fucking artist, I would be on point because all the things that I do now, I'm on point, but as an artist, I would be like, okay, when I come to this city, this is what I got to do. I got to go to this college. I'm going to go to the nursing home. I'm going to go to all the places people wouldn't expect me to go to. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to the women like you with some smarts and some brains. Guys like that too. Girl who got some smarts and know how to, you know, operate a business and situations. And that's why people be needing women like that in their camps because guys think one way, women think out the box sometimes. And that's cool to have somebody be like, yo, y'all need to carry our butts to a goddamn college where your fans are instead of going to the mall pick up some sneakers.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, you flying in? Fuck it. Don't call no driver. Me and the Chico Mobile, we're going to come pick you up. Then we're going to go to the college. And then, you know what? I'm going to bring you to the crib. I'm going to cook you some soul food. Then you're going to get your ass back on the road. And we're going to hit up a couple of more colleges. Then by the time you do your show tonight, that shit going to be so motherfucking packed because you connected with people and they're going to want to come out and see you. Then the promoter going to be like, damn, you really packed the house. It's like,
I got to come back out there now, man. I need some of that food.
Man, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, collard greens with turkey meat because I don't do the pork, candied yams, sweet potato pie, or, you know, the meatloaf, potato salad. The Jiffy cornbread, the grape Kool-Aid. What you need? I got you.
Damn. Wow. I got to come back out there. I was out there like twice.
Man, I'm out from the Greensboro. I'm trying to get rid of some of them.
That's where I was at.
You know what?
Yeah, I got to come back, though. Definitely.
Man, you know what? I swear, I need to get your number because, honestly, if you tell me, like, what's your booking price and everything like that, I have this club on Smash. It's called Club 117, and it's three levels, and it's a nice club. The top level is the penthouse, and it's right downtown. I swear.
I need to be there. I need to be there.
And what? Man, because
I don't like it.
See, this is what I do. This is what I do. You need to find a way to, you know what? I don't give a damn because I don't got to answer my phone. But Ron, this is my number: 336-398.
We're gonna have them dudes like, yo, what's up with that chicken, yo?
Everybody got their pens and papers.
This shit right here. If any of y'all creepy motherfuckers call my phone, I swear before the Lord, I am going to bust you out. I'm gonna put your number on blast and tell every motherfucking bisexual motherfucker amongst my 40-something thousand followers that you're looking for dick. Don't play on my phone.
They gonna be like, yo, what's up with them yams you was talking about though?
I got some yams for you.
Nah, you're gonna be calling breathing heavy.
But I'm so serious. Y'all Y'all play on my phone if you want to. I will hurt your feelings. Every gay motherfucker on Twitter will be calling you.
Repeat the number.
It's 336.
Yeah.
398.
Yeah.
4792. Because I have to have a lunch. I'm having a lunch meeting with the promoter on Thursday because we're going to start doing like a whole lot of stuff. And if you can give me a good price, I will tell him so we can work on getting you down here. Because I think that would be like a really good look. And then I feel like when artists come to a city, it's like people need to do features with them. So it's like when you come, I'm going to put you out there to artists. You tell me what your price is, and I'm going to tell them so they can hop in the studio. And then me personally, if I'm around, I'm going to record the footage because I feel like, you know, when artists are in the studio working, everybody wants to hear the finished product, but everybody wants to see that behind the scenes. They want to see how shit comes together. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer on behind the scenes. That's why I did that this weekend with my mixtape drop. I'm putting the shit out on YouTube and World Star Latino, and then people are going to be like, oh, my God, that bitch is so hype. I got to get her to host my mixtape. Oh, my God, that bitch is so crazy. I got to get her to do some drops and stuff like that. And then you know what? I get you to come down here. Then I'm going to speak to my liquor sponsor and see if you can get you to do a video. Because they have Everglow, and the same people that made Hypnotic made Everglow and sold the company to Carolina One. They also have a vodka called V2 Vodka. It has taurine and ginseng in it, and that shit is good because I did some with, you know, behind-the-scenes commercials for them this weekend. Basically, I was in the studio being a bartender, getting fucked up, getting on the mic doing drops. And then,
you got a whole itinerary laid out.
Yeah, because I'm always working. I'm always working. So my thing is, if an artist comes to my city, then it's only right that I utilize their time to build their fan base, build their pockets, make their stomach fatter from eating, and then when they go home, all they're going to do is talk about me. Like, yo, you know what? I met Chot. She was so fucking cool. Met her kids. They kicked my ass on Call of Duty or Madden 2013. And, you know, if you smoke, you smoke some good weed. I'm a drinker. Her brother got me drunk as fuck. I went to the club. I tore that shit up. I had a good time. And then every time you think about North Carolina, you're going to be like, okay, I'm going to Greensboro. Might end up in Charlotte, might end up in Raleigh, but damn, wherever the fuck I ended up at, I had a good time, and I came back with more money than I thought I was going to have.
That's awesome. That's always the plan.
Hell yes. And you, ain't, and you didn't have to trick for it. Like, you ain't have to sell no dick. Now, speaking of, have you ever paid for pussy?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever paid for pussy?
Paid for the first time.
I didn't know what she was saying.
Yeah. Have you ever paid for pussy? Directly, indirectly, or layaway?
I'm a Harlem guy.
Yes.
Some guys make it, but I never had to.
He said, I'm a Harlem guy. A lot of Harlem niggas pay for pussy.
Pussy
one of the biggest tricks ever.
I had to rephrase that. I never had to. Never.
Do
you wanna?
That's all I can say is. Interesting.
You wanna?
Very interesting. Matter of fact,
my cousin over here is screaming in the background, you wanna? She's from Charlotte, Chuck.
Oh, God.
Shout out to Charlotte.
She got a big ass.
Oh my goodness.
She's
thick and she's a I don't know. I can't. I refuse to hook her up with another individual because they will have me. Where's Desi? Have you seen her? No, I can't.
Does she fuck with females?
Does she do what? Yeah, she turned up. I can't with her.
Oh, I'm about due for a threesome for 2013. I haven't had one since 2007.
You know what?
Wow.
Oh, my bad. We got company on the phone. Excuse us.
You over here. Oh, man.
That's what y'all do.
They're loving it. Don't get her started, because my name would be... you'll call me, and I'll be like, Bennett's residence. I'm not in it.
Oh, my God. We have a call from New York. This person's been on hold for a minute, but, you know, shit, they learning something. The last 4-7530, you live on the air with Chuck Mommy, Ron Browse, Ashton, and Rick Hines. What can I help you with?
First of all, you should already know who number that is. You playing yourself right now.
Ew.
I don't know the number.
Yes, you do. Cause I told
no,
you
I don't.
I DM'd you the number like 2 weeks ago.
I thought it was something else, Tone. Damn, my bad. I've been drinking Mountain Dew. Does that help?
Shit, you drinking Mountain Dew with fucking something else in.
Look at me over here.
Honey?
You know what? Ron Brown has me infatuated with this song Never, so I can't recognize normal numbers that I would, because I'm not in my right mind. Because I'm so overwhelmed.
I'll give you a pass tonight because you didn't recognize it last time, but on Friday or whatever, and you forget my number, you're going to have beef, right?
Yeah, right.
You know what? I'm not worried about having beef with you because I'm rolling with Harlem right now.
What?
I'm rolling with Harlem.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I love BK, though. I love BK. Did you get a chance to hear the last song, Where It At Tonight? That is like a perfect twerking song.
Oh, you twerk, too?
There's a video on Facebook with a girl twerking at the library.
Hold on, Tom. Ashton, did you hear that question? He asked
you,
did I twerk? The politically correct answer for that is no, but I do a whole lot of other stuff.
The head game is a felony, right?
I don't know. I'm retired from that. I'm gonna do something else. I am going to start speaking to church women about fucking their men on a regular basis.
They do that anyway.
No, they don't.
Please, church girls are more freaky than anything.
No. I said church. It's church women. Church women don't.
I know a few church women that swallow cum and all that.
Tone know a little bit of everything for everybody.
Swallow cum, and she's singing a choir on Sundays.
You know what, Tone? I'm not fucking with you tonight. I am trying
I'm
find a way.
Serious. You know me. I only come with the heat. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. I'm trying to get Ron Browse to North Carolina to perform. Man, he come with too much heat. He hotter than hell. I'm not fucking with Tone.
I make a cold day in January into July.
No, Tone, you're hotter than hell. I'm not fucking with you.
But I'm dead ass serious. But this church goes out there swallowing cum and singing on the choir on a Sunday with a coated throat.
Oh, God. You're too much. I have 6 minutes and I have to get some stuff out. Now, Mr. Ron, I like calling you Mr. Ron. That sounds so cute. Now, are you single?
No. You know.
You got important ones and non-important ones, man.
That's a good answer. Now,
let me write that down.
For females that are listening, how can they get your attention?
First, they gotta be attractive and just cool. Like, I like a chick that's real. Like,
yeah,
it's a chick that's real. Like, who ain't trying to, you know? I hate, like, how can I put it? They just gotta be cool and chill. Like, the approach is everything.
Exactly, the confidence.
Yeah.
You know, the confidence. You know, they gotta have confidence to approach an artist or to approach somebody. You know what I mean? Don't approach me about
and
my
don't
money.
Try and I don't like girls who try and diss other girls to try and get your contact. Like, yo, them chicks over there is whack. What's good?
Oh wow.
Like, don't shoot down other chicks to try and, you know, earn your spot.
Exactly.
What's your favorite position?
I'm an All-American. I make all of them work.
Doggy.
Oh, my goodness. My cousin is so hot.
I'm an All-American. I make everything work.
Doggy.
No, it ain't just now, one. It ain't just one specific one.
Mine is the Boston Crab.
I ain't going to touch that. I'm not even touching that one.
I didn't even hear it.
Now,
my favorite position
ever,
is online at the ticket spot.
Goodness.
We're not even touching you right now.
He's trying to go in.
We're going to say
I'm waiting for somebody who's too short, who's shortchanged on that center breast. What you mean, Ma?
You're a midget. I'm not fucking with you. Now, Ron, have you ever fucked a fat chick?
Hey.
What's
up, bro?
He quiet on that one.
Yeah,
no. Nah, okay. Now, this one is music related. Out of all the new artists out right now, who do you consider doing a track with?
I think me and Meek Mills will do something dope.
Okay, now I see. I could fuck with Meek. Meek is like a real, real person. Like, you know, he a street nigga. I like street people because I'm a street person. You know, I've been in the game, got out because of
just,
a state-funded vacation. But, you know, hey.
Just because I can look at it, I can hear from a producer standpoint and hear what he'll be dope on and would compliment his voice and all that.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I would like to hear like a Nipsey Hussle on a Ron Brown track. You know what I mean? Like, just see how that goes.
Yeah. See, I grew up and I used to do beats for all the local artists, so I had to find out what beats fit who. You know what I'm saying? I got like 10 dudes up in my mom's crib. I'm trying to every dude want an album. So, you know, you got to be kind of pretty swift on beat making and knowing what sound hot for who. So that kind of got me prepared for the game. So I can hear artists like, you know, Lloyd Banks be like, oh, that's hot for him. Or this hot for Ross. Or this hot for him. Stuff like that.
Wow. So let's just say hypothetically, tomorrow, your phone rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Trinidad James asking you to hop on the track with him. What are you going to say?
If he calls and say, jump on the track, that's an opportunity. I ain't going to turn it down.
Would you set the tempo? Like, you would have the lead?
Yeah. I'm definitely,
okay.
You know. Bring, you know, my perspective to the track, like, you know, bring what I'm trying to bring to the world on it.
Now,
everybody
is
creative in their
own
kind of way, you know. It is what it is.
Now, see, this is something I should have asked you out the gate, and I'm like, you know, what made you get into, because you was a producer before anything else first, correct?
It's correct and incorrect at the same time. I got introduced to the world as a producer first.
Okay.
When I was young, I was trying to be an artist. I got a pretty unique story, you know?
So, do you see a book coming out soon?
A book or a short film?
Oh, now, would that film be rated PG, PG-13, R, or X?
It'll be, a serious film, emotional.
Oh,
emotional.
Damn.
Yeah, like, emotion film, man.
Okay, now see, I know how to paint you now, because remember, I have to go to the lab and I have to like create the questions for the magazine. So it ain't gonna be no like simple questions or nothing like that. It's just like for me, anytime that I interview people, like once I interview them one way on the air, when it comes to paper, it's something totally different, because I have to go back and I have to bring up some more interviews that you've done if I can find them on YouTube and in print and stuff like that. And I got to show a side that nobody has done before. So just because you made that comment, I know that I'm going to have to dig a little deep, but not too deep. But, you know, enough to be like, you know what, I'm going to share this with my supporters and my followers, so they'll know something different about me. You know what I'm saying? Because tonight, people heard you be like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to keep hearing that title, Mr. Auto-Tune. You're about to see the rawness of me, and we saw that in Never. So now they have, like, okay, we got something else to look forward to. And I think that is going to be, like, a really good thing, because it's like when you're in the press, it's our job and our duty to show the many sides that a person has to them. You can't always stay in one lane or two lanes. I like to put you on a super highway that got, like, six lanes and all of them going in different directions.
So, I'm with it.
So I see that we're going to be working real closely, and people, y'all already know, I don't fuck artists, so don't think I'm going to be trying to fuck this man, because that's not what I do. I am trying to network, because that's what I do, and y'all are going to see him coming out of my timeline a lot, and he's going to be in the magazine, and then I'm really going to try to work it for him to come down here and do a show. And then if he does, I'm going to get my cameraman to follow him as we're going to these college campuses and seeing how people are reacting to him and the words of wisdom that he gives people that have questions about the industry, people that want to know how they can do something that they didn't think that they could do. Because I feel like you are a leader and that you are willing to help people by just speaking to them and pointing them in the right direction. Basically what we talked about earlier, like letting everybody know it ain't all glitter and gold in the industry. Like it's a whole lot of sweat, blood, and tears.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not. And, I mean, for me being a female, it's like I try to make it by being smart and being a good networker and being a good person. I'm not trying to make it on my back, so when I do make it, I don't want nobody saying that I struck to get where I'm at, I struck hella big to get where I'm at, or I did anything twice. It's like I'm going to make it because, for one, God intended me to make it, and two, I had the will and determination to make it, and I'm not a quitter.
Don't.
And I feel like If I can do 3 years and 8 months in prison, being in the entertainment industry is easy.
Nah.
Ah. Good way to put it.
Beat up nobody, right?
Nah, I ain't beat up nobody. I did good. I just, when I went to the halfway house, I did a lot of shit I wasn't supposed to. Cell phone, bank accounts, fucking, getting in cars. You know, the stuff you do to survive. And then go back in and, you know, do my time and whatnot. But, yeah, I just, you know, I just feel like God puts you in places to meet people that can either build you up and help you go further. And it's like, if I have to tear you down or you make me want to tear you down, then that's not, I don't want to be around you, because I'm just a positive person and I try to help everybody that I can. And some people you can't help, you can't save the world, and I realize that. But at the end of the day, if there is 10 people and if I can help 5 to 7, then I feel like I did my job. The other 5 to 3, y'all was just fucked up. Something was wrong with you. And I just couldn't do it. And, you know, I follow Ron. I like following people that come on my show because I'm a supporter. You know what I'm saying? I don't just do this because of the radio, but I really am. I'm a supporter. I'm going to listen to your tracks, and I have homework to do tomorrow. So while I'm doing my homework, I'm going to actually listen to the whole mixtape. And any new music that you have, please make sure you get it to me, because I will put it in the rotation and play it. Anything that you have that you need pushed on the internet, by all means, get it to me. My reach on Twitter is crazy, because my 50 tweets, like my last 50 tweets can reach anywhere from 39,000 to 212,000 accounts, and my impressions is like 1.2 million on Twitter. So I really get it in. So anything that you need to be promoted or pushed, by all means, let me know. You have direct access to me. You can hit me up anytime. Like I said, if it's something that you need. And I'm going to meet with Ognell Entertainment on Thursday. But I'm going to actually text him tonight and tell him about you and stuff. And then when you hit me up and let me know what your ticket is and stuff like that, then I'll pass it on to him and be like, this is important to me. I want this to happen. It has to happen. Because getting you down here will be, like, really good for a lot of artists that want that exposure. You know what I'm saying? That can pay for it, because I don't fuck with freeloaders. If they can't pay you, then they need to get the fuck away. I don't got time to be wasting nobody's time, and I'll go off on people for fronting and stuff like that. I don't like to waste nobody's time, because my time is too important.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you coming on the show. I really appreciate you riding out as long as you did, because I didn't know what kind of time frame that I had and everything like that. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I can actually say that I can walk away from this radio interview and feel like I've made a new friend and a new networking buddy.
So, I appreciate the interview. Shout out to Jesse for hooking the interview up, and it was cool kicking it with you.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. I feel like a schoolgirl because I got a good compliment. Those are always the best ones to have at the end of the show when I don't piss the artist off or when they can't answer the questions and then they get mad and hang up. And it just be, like, honest questions.
You said artists be hanging the phone up on you?
Hell yeah. I'm a bitch. Like, like, if I know an artist is full of shit, you know what I'm saying? I will purposely ask them some shit that I know they don't want to talk about, because I can't stand front-ass artists. I hate artists that lie to their fans. I hate artists that be on Instagram straight flossing and the shit is a lie. I hate when artists be on other things talking about what they do or what their numbers are. You know what I'm saying? A good matter of fact, Blue Da Vinci is a good artist. He said that he had like 2 million downloads on a single that he did. He barely had over 10,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to me, like, I always feel like keep it real, be honest. And I can't stand artists that are too big to talk to their fans, because if it wasn't for your fans, supporters, and followers, a lot of the motherfuckers wouldn't be where they're at today. Because I tell artists and I tell DJs, the moment you forget the people that put you in position, that'll be the moment they forget you and you fall from grace and you be like on your dick. You'll be dead on your dick dirty. And I can't stand for, I mean, I'm just keeping it real. I can't stand for DJs to be on fucking mixtapes and they take an artist's money and then they don't push the project. What the fuck are you on it for? That's your brand because your name is attached to it, whether you push it or not. If the motherfucker flop, you flop with it.
Yeah.
And then I mean, a lot of artists be like, well, Chalk, you can't say this about a DJ. Why the fuck can't I? I'm not an artist. I can't be blackballed. Last I checked, I pay for my own radio space. So I can say whatever the fuck I want to say. I can go on Twitter and say whatever the fuck I want to say as long as it's real and I'm being genuine. So I will tell a DJ, that's fucked up. You have your name on this and you can't push it. Or, you know, a DJ will be talking shit about an artist they worked with. Okay, if you feel that way about that artist, give them their fucking money back. Or artist, why can't you talk to your fans when they tweet you? Or if somebody is out, why you can't take the time out to sign a piece of paper? Or if somebody hits you up on an email, why you can't take time back to answer? Or if somebody likes your picture on Instagram and they're always liking your shit, why can't you take 15 seconds to like one of their pictures? Or better yet, why the fuck can't you say thank you?
Yeah, you're right.
But then motherfuckers be wanting people to go out and buy their album. Man, fuck out of here. I'll go on the corner and buy a bootleg copy of your motherfucking album and take a picture and put it on Twitter and be like, this is what I think about you. Because it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like so many people that that do that. And it's like, Rich, you being in the industry, being an actor and stuff like that, when I first met you, I didn't know what you did. But then as I found out, it's like you're very approachable and you're very humble. Ron, you've done hella shit. You've worked with hella fucking artists. But at the end of the day, if somebody came up to you on the street and said a few things to you, you would stop and conversate depending on what your time is like. You would still say hi. You're not going to walk by that person because that may have been somebody that bought all your fucking albums that was for sale. They may have downloaded every fucking thing you had on the internet. And they'll be like, that would mean so much to them. A lot of artists don't think like that. A lot of entertainers don't think like that. I try to be like that all the time. I will never let go of my Twitter. I will never let go of my email. My manager be like, you're too accessible. I want to be that way because I'm a real person. When people call my Google number, I answer it. And they're like, oh, my God, I just saw your video, or I read your blog. Oh, my God, you fucked your best friend. Yeah.
They're going to call for them yams this week.
They're going to call for a lot of stuff once I drop this new blog and I put this damn video out of me in the studio. And then once they hear this interview, they're going to be like, oh, shit, Ryan, come down. Can we eat with y'all? Fuck nah. I ain't breaking bread with y'all. Fuck you. If y'all can go to the grocery store and buy this shit, hell no. Food is expensive. Lord forbid you can't find somebody with food stamps. Yo, let me get that card. How much you want? You want half? Shit, that'll save me a lot of money. just keeping it real. But, you know, I really appreciate you guys. This is like, this has been like a real informative show. And I can't wait to listen to the playback. And honestly can't wait to write the blog, because I'm actually going to go in. I'm really going to go in. And then when it's time for me to do the magazine, I'm going to go super in. And then I'm going to find a way, even if I have to come to New York for a day, to do a face-to-face video interview, then I will, because I feel like that will be, like, a whole lot of fun. And it's, like, giving people a chance to see you in your comfort zone, whether we're getting something to eat or walking down the street. I would prefer being in a restaurant eating, because I like to eat. And I get you a bust of pussy. I'm not sure. Yeah, you drink. I get you a bust of pussy. And then see your expression when you take that shot and be like, oh, shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I'm a bartender. I like to make people feel good.
Yeah, it was a blessing being on the show. You know what I mean? You know, Ron, you know what I mean? It's good meeting you, man. You know, Chuck, she got my info, my email, my phone number. I'm not as brave as her to yelling online. I mean, on the radio. But you know, I mean, definitely get that from her, man. And you know, we'll link up. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna cry in the morning. I might cry tonight, because I'm looking at my iPhone right now. Like, God, please don't let no weirdos call my phone. if I do, oh man, I can't even be mad at myself. I'm gonna be mad at Ron. That's why I'm gonna be mad at Ron.
I take the blame.
Well,
I'm gonna see it on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm gonna post something on Instagram. But yeah, I really, really appreciate Ron being on the show, Ashton being on the show. Ron, most definitely. And what's sad is the person that was asking you the questions in the beginning, I don't even remember their fucking name. Oh my God, that's bad. And they know me, like we've talked, but I don't remember their name. Shit, I don't remember the number. I don't call them. So thank you for calling in too. And you know, everybody that listened in the chat room, Big Tone, Madam, she called in. She just listened and she hung up and then she called back in. So, you know, you were saved from that one. Ron, you would thank me on that one. You'll thank me on that one. So, we're gonna end the show, and like I said, it was really a blessing having you on the show. I feel very fortunate. And, you know, just stay blessed, keep that positive attitude, and, you know, keep giving us that good music. I'm ready for all the rawness that you got coming. You're going to shock a lot of people, because when I heard Never, I was really shocked. I was thrown back from everything else that I've heard.
So that's what I want. That's the effect I want.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Rich, when you get a chance, go on YouTube, and I don't know if you heard it and listened to Never. Did you hear that song? Was you on when I played that one?
Yeah, I was on it when you played it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's like, oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to tell everybody about that one.
I listen to it. You know what I mean? I'll go ahead and put it out. Is that your new stuff, or that's something that
video is a week old. That is new.
Yeah. New.
Oh, okay. I definitely shout it out on Twitter and on my Instagram, you know what I mean? Make sure. No, I definitely do that. Got that.
Okay.
Now, fact, I am pulling up the video link now, and I'm about to tweet it, and then it's going to go on all my social networks, my Facebook, my all my Twitters, and my fan pages.
Text it to my phone.
Oh, I most definitely will. You guys have a good night. And again, I really appreciate you tuning in and checking out Mr. Ron Browse. look out for his new music. He has more stuff coming on. King of Auto, the Auto-Tune mixtape is not coming. Don't be disappointed. Look at it as a step up, like, yo, he is about to bless us with some real, real, real shit that's just going to fuck up your world. Like, Ron Brown's like you've never heard him before. Like, 2013, boy, he's turned
yeah.
up.
But it's just your year.
Yeah, especially when he
comes
to
Greensboro. Y'all definitely need to come down and, you know, I mean, Cali, man, let me show y'all a good time. You talk, too. You definitely need to be down here. It's been a minute since you've been down here. So, and you too, bro. I need to come down
yeah.
here, man. I mean, or you know, I come down.
Cali.
I come out. Don't be scared. Or I come down to North Carolina. You know what I mean? I come down there and I just, you know, I'm passing through anyway. You know, I'm in Virginia in about a month, so I might as well just stop through.
Oh, you be in Virginia for a month? I'll drive to VA.
I'll be down there in a month. So, you know, I
thought you didn't be down here for a month. Now, I can't come to Cali because I have too many blue friends, so the red people are shooting.
Nah, you good. You watch too much TV. You good.
Y'all crazy. Y'all need to get the hell off my phone. I need to take a shower. Chica needs to be clean. Oh, that's the name of my that's the name of my friend, in case y'all wondering. Yeah. Ashton, I'm gonna send you a picture.
I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna send you one back.
Now I knew I should have got you in the hotel room when you came to see me. we're taking
snooze, you lose.
Well, listen to this, y'all. I'm taking applications because I'm going to smash my co-host the next time I come to New York. So I am due for a threesome. So, hey.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't tell nobody. Ron, keep that on the low. Rich, keep that on the low.
It's just secret and safe for me.
Lord, all over the radio. Listen, I have never, ever been with a woman, so I'm like a virgin. She's trying to turn me on. It's not going to happen.
Well, you know what? You're on the phone with two men that have had their share of threesomes. They can give you advice on what to do.
No.
Give you advice. I can't. I'm not going to tell you advice over the phone. I think I got to be there personally, like, one-on-one.
You see that? You see that? You see that? You see that slickness?
And Ron has probably had a few at his concerts because, you know, he's turned up and there'd be a lot of women in there.
right in the bathroom stall of the club.
He done probably had a threesome behind a big-ass speaker stand.
Or up in the VIP.
It's popping
it is
champagne.
What it is. I plead
on the fifth. Y'all nasty.
No, we know.
Y'all.
We're man.
Hey, but I got to get out of here, y'all.
Thank you for calling in. You have a good night.
Okay, you got to get me out there.
Oh, I am. Make sure you hit me up. Because I'm not saying, let me get my, I'm hitting him on my BlackBerry now.
All right, Ron, man. Nice meeting you, man. You got to come out to L.A.
All right, bro.
You have a safe one out there. All right, Chalk, hit me up, too.
All right, you guys have a good night, and thank you for riding the chocolate wave.
Night.
Thank you. Night.